Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Michael Steele podcast. So those of you who've never been to con law classes, you're getting a little taste of what a good con law class is like. And when you have a good professor who's not only knowledgeable and insightful, but willing to sort of yank your chain and give you some chain to work with, it's all good. And that's my man, Ellie Mistal. So Eddie, where I had a lot of fun actually was when you talked in the chapter, bigotry is illegal even if you've been ordered to by Jesus. And I'm going to try very hard not to get too law schoolish here and too lawyers going back and forth because you have a clear edge. I was a corporate guy, right? So you know where my ultimate interests were going to lie, right? So
you and my wife could have a conversation about structured products and
there we go. You know, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. But you start in this section talking about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA. And I remember the passage of RFRA, and I remember the case that involved RFRA, that RFRA was born out of, the Employment Division versus Smith, where the court essentially changed the interpretation of the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment, okay? And that set off for you apparently the idea that what Clinton administration and Democrats in cahoots with Republicans essentially did was to strip away that portion of the First Amendment and that opened up the door in a way that allowed sort of religious zeal to sort of take greater hold.
So walk us through
that a little bit, because it's funny, you said in here, there are laws and customs throughout our system that are inextricably tied to Christian theology. I was just at Syracuse University last night and gave a lecture on aspects of that in terms of the intersection of faith and politics and how, as a Roman Catholic, there are aspects of my faith that I brought into decisions that I had to address as lieutenant governor of my state, one of them being the death penalty. And as someone who is pro-life, consistently, I am anti-death penalty and pro-life in the context of the unborn. Making the case to save the life of those individuals who were about to die in my state on death row, that there was that Christian theology that sort of animated some of the reasoning around that. So in one sense, that's not a bad thing. It's when it becomes, as we've seen in many cases, more frequently than should be, a zealousness to that. And that, I would say, and as you, I'm going to let you get into this, I would say that absent RFRA, all right, absent the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the outcome in Employment Division versus Smith, and the outcome in Holly Lobby would have been exactly the same. They're bookends. RFRA changes. So if you just go back, and in one case in Employment Division, you have someone who used peyote as part of a religious service, but that peyote is an illegal substance. And the state said, you do not have an interest here. We have a greater interest here to prevent you from using this substance. Right. In Holly Lobby, you have the state coming in and saying to someone that we have a greater interest for you to change your healthcare plan to include birth control, even though you claim it's against your religious convictions. My point is, the courts would have gotten that, the courts got both of those cases right, and RFRA was just an interloper because you came out to the same result. So, Professor, it's all yours.
All right, but I see, I think the courts got Employment Division v. Smith right and Hobby Lobby wrong.
Okay.
Because of RFRA, right? So here's how I'll do it. Let's go back to the actual facts of the case of Employment Division v. Smith, because they're hilarious, right? They're two Native Americans who are working for a drug like rehab clinic, right?
That's a good case.
Right, who are taking peyote, right? Because of their religious
drug rehab case. Yeah, yeah.
So they get fired from their drug rehab clinic, as well as they probably should,
for using drugs.
Right, which is not. So I don't have a problem with them getting fired from that, even though I understand it's a religious ceremony, and I'm not trying to, harsh on.
You're not all pining on that, right?
Right, like I understand why you can't work for a drug rehab clinic and you take drugs on this. You can't do that. Fine, right? But then these guys, they applied for unemployment,
right?
And it's the unemployment benefits that said, well, like you can't get unemployment if you're on drugs. Well, right. that to me is the ridiculous conservative Victorian bullcrap, right? Like, who says you can't get unemployment? Why should you not be able to get unemployment?
Because the thinking is,
I know what you're going to say. I know.
I'm just saying. But that's the social construct that the government is there to either allow or protect against, and the rationale is that, okay, you're working in a drug rehab center using drugs. You get fired from that place of employment. Now you want unemployment benefits. And the rationale, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the rationale is no, because you're going to use those unemployment benefits to do what?
More drugs.
More drugs.
Maybe. I think you should get unemployment benefits because you're unemployed. Like that should be.
No, I agree with that. That's the slippery slope in some of these narratives when the federal government decides, or the state decides how it's determining its interest, the degree of its interest in this matter. Right. If you just stop at what you just said, we don't have an issue. But then what happens is they start projecting all the shit you may or may not do with that money. And then what if they decided, I'm just going to go buy a TV. So I'm going to watch, stories about drugs on TV. I'm not going to go buy any. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So how do you know what they're going to do with the money? But anyway, go ahead.
Right. So the court said that all of this was fine. That of course they could get fired, because of course they could get fired. And of course they could be denied unemployment benefits because the law saying that you couldn't do drugs and get unemployment benefits was religion neutral. It doesn't matter if what religion you are, you just can't, it doesn't have a special exception if your religion is a drug using religion or whatever. So then RFRA comes in. So then the Democrats see this decision and they come over the top with a new law, submitted to Congress by my boy Chuck Schumer, sponsored in the Senate by my boy Ted Kennedy, signed into law by my triangulation boy Bill Clinton, right? This is a Democrat idea. Republican support, I obviously, voice vote in the House and whatever, like, everybody loved this. Everybody's like,
hallelujah.
Right? And it was that the courts had to change their test to take these minor religious ideas seriously, right? That they had to give the peyote people an exception because they were practicing their faith. And so they should still be able to get unemployment benefits because all they were doing was practicing their faith. Now, again, the way that I would have solved this was not to change the religious laws, the laws on how we understand religion. It would be to change the laws on how we understand unemployment. But Democrats went towards the religion side, and so now we have RFRA. So now Hobby Lobby comes up, right?
Right.
And now the issue in Hobby Lobby is the corporate entity not wanting to give drugs to its employees. The drugs were birth control, but whatever. Not wanting to give drugs to their employees because it violated the corporation's, not the employees', religious freedom. Mm-hmm. And the court under RFRA said that's absolutely correct. And so now so now because of what RFRA has done, the corporate entity can deny drugs, and again, I'm using drugs with scare quotes on them because we're talking about birth control, but can deny drugs like to their employees because of their religious objections. If he had just done what I said in the 90s and just changed the unemployment laws, then both the peyote people would be able to get their unemployment and the women working at Hobby Lobby would be able to get their birth control. But because
I don't think the women at Hobby Lobby would have been able to get their birth control. I think you would have still, the court still would have looked at that and said that the state does not have a greater interest here. The state cannot show that, as how did you put it in here? You said that they were very, 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 you know, good reasons to impose this ruling on them. I don't think a liberal court or a conservative court would have interpreted that the interests of the state trumped the religious freedom rights of the First Amendment rights of Hobby Lobby.
I just disagree about that. I think that absent RFRA, I think that even a conservative court, because remember, Scalia is still alive at this point. Scalia was really all about secular law trumping religious law, except for the places where Scalia kind of couldn't get through his own bigotry, right? So in the gay rights context, Scalia never could just, he couldn't see that.
Right.
But in lots of other religious cases, Scalia generally was a person who sided with the secular law trumping religious freedom, because again, I also remember what used to happen. This, I try to explain this in the book because it's important. It's important to, for people to understand how the Overton window has shifted on the issue of religious freedom.
Yes.
What it used to be was practitioners of minority faiths, right? It used to be the peyote natives, you know, whatever. It used to be Muslims. It used to be people, you know, the Amish, right? It used to be small minority religions arguing for exceptions to otherwise secular laws, arguing that those laws might sound secular, but actually lock in a lot of Judeo-Christian traditions in their laws, right? That used to be where the debate was. And so the conservative position used to be, no, We're gonna ignore these minority religions. We're gonna just have regular secular laws, and if that happens to benefit Catholics, oh well. If that happens to benefit Protestants, oh well. Right?
Like South Africa, my friend, we've evolved.
right. Now what we have is people in the majoritarian religions, mm-hmm. in the Judeo-Christian traditions, in the Protestant Catholic traditions, arguing that otherwise secular laws impinge on their religious freedom. So a law simply saying that you have to provide healthcare to your employees that has nothing to do with religion now impinges on my religious freedom, as I'm the majoritarian Judeo-Christian religion. That's been the change in my lifetime. I mean, literally, Employment Division B. Smith is 1991. That's been the change that's happened in my lifetime. In terms of how we are having this debate right now. And I think that, you know, as I say in the book, anytime I'm passing a law and I'm getting voice vote support from Republicans, I'm like, whoa, whoa, what am I not thinking about? What did I not see about how this could go the other way,
right?
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America. You asked for it. Or maybe you didn't, but either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So, we are going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Listen to Facepalm America, a podcast that laughs at America and its politics, from Beowulf Rocklin, producer of The Rick Unger Show. Facepalm America, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever you download your digital distractions in audio form.